The readings today are a pep talk of sorts. The collect reminds us of the reality of the situation, that Christ entered not into joy, but first he suffered pain, and went not into glory before he was crucified. It acknowledges that we are walking in the way of the cross, and prays that we might find it none other than the way of life and peace. We might find those words a bit hollow, something sounding like blithe hope or false expectation, if we didn't have the readings that follow. You have to admit that it goes against our secure sensibilities to pray that we might find the way of the cross to be the way of life and peace. The way of the cross sounds anything but life and peace. It sounds like a sure path to pain and death. Without the whole picture, it is just that. But we have the whole picture. For now, it's Monday in Holy Week, and we step one step closer to Good Friday, and also one step closer to Easter. Our reading from Isaiah reminds us that God is in charge. Isaiah tells about God's chosen one, which to us is a clear testimony to the person of Jesus. He confirms, reminds, and assures that the Lord, the very one who created heaven and earth, who gives breath and made the covenant with us, that very same God has a plan. And this is all a part of the plan. Thus says the Lord, "See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." New things have come to pass. The psalmist reminds of God's steadfast love, of God's consistency and persistency, that no matter what, God is with us and God is steadfast. The author of Hebrews reminds us that we are not alone. In fact, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have walked the way of the cross and have run the race that we now have set before us. He also reminds that we are not alone in the trials and tribulations of our human life, that Jesus himself is the perfect example of endurance. In saying that, we know that God himself is the perfect example of endurance, of enduring shame and sorrow and pain and all the things that go along with being human and living life. We are all in this together. Those who are here now, those who have gone before, those yet to come, and even God himself in the form of Jesus are all in this together. The reading from the Gospel of John today takes us to this week. Actually, if we stick with John's timing, it takes us to yesterday, 6 days before the Passover. We find Jesus at a dinner party with his friends, Martha and Mary, along with Lazarus, who seems to have made a full recovery from having been dead. Jesus is doing normal things, things everyday people do. He's eating dinner with friends. Then Mary, the one who has been noted in the past for having paid attention when Jesus was over, and Martha, who had that issue with the working in the kitchen alone, Mary, again, paying attention to the signs of the times, gets a pound of perfume, nard to be exact, and pours it on Jesus' feet and then wipes them with her hair. It's a beautiful gesture, one of pure devotion. And naturally, someone has to complain. Judas pipes in about the wastefulness, and John, going where no gospel writer has gone before, adds his commentary about the character of Judas, his being a no good guy from way back. Jesus shuts Judas up quickly by defending the action of Mary and makes a comment that has been misused ever since. He says, "You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." I say this has been misused because I have heard this verse of Scripture quoted to defend the decision not to assist those in need, as if having the poor with us always is a defense against giving. Somehow, I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. Priorities seem to be what Jesus has in mind here, along with everywhere else. Now, the crowd has heard that Jesus is at the home of his friends, and since human nature is one constant throughout the history of time, they descend upon the house. We hear that they not only want to see Jesus, but also Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And it has to look like a scene from National Enquirer. You can just see the folks pushing and shoving, trying to get a glimpse of the famous teacher and the man he raised from the dead. The priorities are way out of order here. And the last line is the clincher. The chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Lazarus was just raised from the dead, and there's still those who would condemn him to death again. And the very one who raised him from the dead is there with him, yet the chief priests think that they know better than Jesus. That's something we all need to be wary of, thinking that we know better than Jesus. The way of the cross is the way to life. In order to get there, you have to die to yourself, to thinking that we know better than Jesus. We have to die to thinking that our human drives and desires are always correct. We have to die to living only for ourselves and what we want and what we think is right. We have to not be like Judas and condemn the actions of others. We have to not be like the chief priest who want to get rid of those that are a threat to our security. We have to take this path one step at a time. And with each step, to move closer to Jesus and his example of humility and away from our own self-preservation and arrogance. Today, we take one more step to the cross that leads to life and peace. Amen.